Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Marie.
What are you up to later? Want to join me for happy hour?
I'm all in.
And guess what's amazing? Our listeners and friends of the podcast can also join us because Brave New Teaching Happy Hour has officially launched. Cheers!
Cheers, everyone! We are officially hanging out a little bit longer after school with an extended, extra, private podcast feed just for you.
Yes. Members of Happy Hour get extra 15 minutes of the podcast, give or take, because you know us, we run a little bit long. It's just kind of how we are. But if you would like to get in on this Happy Hour action, please join us. It is only $5 a month. Head to curriculumrehab.com/happy hour and get yourself signed up, because when you're there, Amanda, tell our friends what we do every month for our Happy Hour members.
I think my favorite part is coming up with a new free resource for our listeners every month. And then we pretty much break down that resource and how to use it. We also like to have guests on to do extended episodes and even Q&A that's just for you about that resource. It's really exclusive and super private just for you.
So if you are like us and you like hanging out, you like chit-chatting about all things that are teaching, teacher life, and everything under that umbrella, join us for happy hour and we will see you there. Bye.
Bye.
Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching. Friends, we are going to nerd out today. So, you know, batten down the hatches. We are excited to do a little unit makeover for you. Hopefully, if you've been around the podcast for a while, you've already heard us talk about this, but Amanda is going to tell you a little bit more about what a unit makeover is if you are new around here, or if you're like, wait a minute, I feel like you've talked about this before, but you guys talk about a lot of things. So what is it?
So, I mean, I think it was right when we started that first summer, we rolled out Unit Makeover as a challenge that we did together. It was an email series. Yes. It's a free challenge. And the idea was that we would all kind of at the same time pick a unit that's not a garbage heap dumpster fire, but that's not a shiny unicorn that you want to spend the rest of your life with. So we're kind of finding that in between unit that has a lot of pieces that you really like, or functionally it has to exist, but you don't really like how it exists in the moment, and to take that and give it a little makeover, give it a little Clinton, give it a little Stacy, you know, whatever it's got to be.
Give it a glow up, if you will.
Clinton and Stacy reference totally just aged me a little bit. I think it did.
It did. But that's okay because I'm with you. No, it's out into the world, friend.
So much of my childhood was watching makeover shows, and I know that that's a huge part of why I have therapy now. But anyway, we're going to continue that trauma into at least the metaphorical sense of the makeover into our unit work. And we're going to take you through some periodic unit makeovers of our own, some audio versions of that in the podcast. We've also made this email series available whenever you want. So if you listen and you're like, okay, I think this is time that I start a unit makeover, we will have a link in our show notes where you can say, start the unit makeover, and then the emails will start coming. And they're PDFs. So when you get them, you can just print them and keep them in a binder and do this whenever you want. Or you can use like the timing of the emails to help keep you accountable. It is summer at the time of this recording, and we just got done telling you to take a break. But we know that everyone's break looks a little bit different. So we wanted to give those of you who really do like to have that clarity of mind in the summer to do a little thing. This is a nice task. Again, it's timed, so you're not doing it indefinitely. And we're just basically going to make over this unit. We're going to make it better. We're going to make it more intentional, but we're not going to pull out all the stops and spend months on it. We're going to spend 10 days, 2 weeks tops.
Yes. In fact, today we are going to talk about a unit that I took through this process that we've created, because just like our course curriculum rehab, just like all of the things that we put out into the world for you, this one, by the way, this unit makeover challenge series is completely free. I just want you to know. But we are going to talk about a unit that I put through this series because it is the melding of our two experiences that create this unit makeover challenge sequence of events. And it's like the best kind, you know, when you just find the perfect person to do group projects with because you totally mind meld together. This was that first mind melding time, was when Amanda and I put together this series. And we were like, oh, I do that. Oh, that would be great. Oh, what you do over there would go great with what I do over here, like right after it. And so we're going to talk you through what I did with a unit on short stories in my own class. And to be totally, like, always, we are being transparent here, everybody. This is something I would probably do a little mini makeover on again. And in fact, we might even come up with some more ideas. But what I have, I really like, and it really does work. I could just use a little peppering in of a little bit more. So you're going to hear kind of that raw. And like any of the ideas that I have come up with come from like making my reflective teaching notes on Post-its and then sticking them on random parts of my desk. This is that time during a unit makeover to grab all of those Post-its or like wherever it is that you put your notes and lay them out and apply them to what you're about to do. Okay. I think that we've previewed.
Yeah. Well, yes. Just so everyone knows, the reason we chose this one to go first and the reason we're putting this in summer for you is because Marie and I have heard around the block teachers saying, my first unit is short stories and I'm going to do a short story unit. And then usually my follow-up question is, so what? Like, why? And the answer is usually, well, I want to review literary terms. And I say, well, why? And then people look back at me like, why are you still asking me this question? And the question is typically, you know, around this idea that a short story unit, period, has not yielded much success from the people that I talk to, because they're telling me that it's not working. You know, I do this unit, I have all these things I want to review, and then we get into unit two and they've forgotten all of the things. And the stories feel like they don't connect, and they probably don't. So we kind of want to go through, if you are in the same boat, you do a short story unit to kick off the year. We want to show you, you know, first of all, like, how to think about it in a few different ways, and then also show you what Marie did so you have a tangible example moving forward that you can use.
Absolutely. But first, we need to cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show. So as Amanda was saying right before our intro music, I'm going to be talking about a short story unit. A short story unit, especially for our ELA friends, is something that we very commonly do. We might do a novel unit. We might do a poetry unit. We might do a short story unit. And I found myself, like Amanda was describing before, going, this just doesn't quite pack the wallop. And it feels extremely pack the wallop. I said that in a very early podcast episode and you laughed, and now it didn't even faze you.
I wanted to make shirts that said pack a wallop. And
yes, it didn't even faze you this time. My, how far we've come. But anyways, it didn't have the impact that I wanted it to have. It didn't do the things I wanted it to do. And it felt so random. So for those of you who are newer to the podcast or have not yet been through curriculum rehab, we take everything in our curricular design and we teach others how to create a year-long curriculum that is based in inquiry and that has an overarching something that strings it all together, right? And so this quote-unquote short story unit that I was teaching didn't fit. Like, it was just a rando that I would maybe start the year with, or maybe start a quarter with, or, you know, like, and it was just kind of there. because like Amanda was saying, I needed to review things and I needed to kind of take care of business and like do all the things I knew I needed to do as an instructor, which is help students recall prior knowledge, build their background information and like context around literary terms, around just getting used to reading literature again, because who knows the last time that they've had an English class, like whatever. But it just still felt like a weird sore thumb. Is that the same experience that you have had in your own classroom and talking to other teachers?
100%. I think the intentions are so noble and so like logical. All of that makes sense on paper to use short texts and to review terms to start the year. But we find that there are a couple of problems with that, right? Like you're describing the disconnectedness, right? A short story unit to me would need to be a unit that explores the art of the short story. And that's almost never the goal of the unit.
Not in the current world that we're in. Like maybe in a college level lit course. Absolutely. But like, I don't have the luxury of that kind of dive into just genre.
I don't think anyone does. I really don't. And I don't think, and I think if our goal at the beginning of the year is one, right, establishing routines and relationships and that rigor piece, like we're getting to know our kids, that's happening. I understand that we want to have short texts. And I also understand this sentiment of review, but I want to like definitely push my listeners right now to think about this. Like how much of that review do you actually see transferring to the rest of the year? So like you review personification and juxtaposition in August and September, but then you don't see it again until January. Did that short story actually do what you needed it to do? My guess is probably not. And so I think that the approach with lots of stories and lots of terms for review ends up actually being not a huge waste of time. That's a very negative way of putting it, but it definitely could have been less is more. And then we could have parsed out some of those things into units themselves where those skills are really important. Like I'm not going to review symbolism in August if I'm teaching Gatsby in December. I'm going to do a mini lesson in December on symbolism, and we're going to immediately use that information, that skill, and that practice as we're reading a novel where the signature literary device is symbolism. I'm not even going to bother reviewing because honestly, Marie and I think are definitely on the same page about this. The definition of all that stuff doesn't mean squat if you can't actually talk about how an author is using it in their text. So
it's all about application. And what Amanda's really getting at here is that disjointed feeling that can happen with any given unit. Please excuse this brief interruption, brave new teachers. We want to tell you about a free email kind of challenge series that we have for you, and it is called the Unit Makeover.
This is something that we started way back in the day because we saw how powerful it was for helping teachers get their vision boards made. So from vision boarding to essential questions to supplemental texts and building assessments, we have a free 10-day, two-week email series that you can sign up for right now.
Absolutely. Head to the show notes or just anywhere at bravenewteaching.com and get yourself signed up for our Unit Makeover Challenge. If you're anything like us, you are go, go, go all the time, especially when it is a busy season and you are in the classroom and you are going and teaching and doing all the things. And of course, that's also when you have all the brilliant ideas on all the ways that you want to fix up or revamp or update one of your units that you have that you are currently working on that you just did, right? You've got all those post-its going in your paper calendar. You've got all the notes and comments in the side of your digital calendar. This is an opportunity during your busy season to take all of those notes and implement them right here, right now, at your own pace. It's very, very doable, and it is absolutely free.
We will hold your hand through every step of the process. So as the emails come, you can do the tasks or print the PDF, throw it in a binder, and do it as you're ready. We are just here to be by your side to help put into place all of these dreams that you've got scattered all over your classroom. So head to the show notes right now, jump in, drop your email, and we'll send over that first email right away.
Absolutely. We cannot wait to see the way that your unit makeovers go. So make sure that you post on social media and tag us at Brave New Teaching. And let's get back into the show, shall we?
Let's go.
You've made it this far and you're not an English language arts teacher. Bravo and thank you and welcome along with the show. But my guess is that the lion's share of our listeners, especially on an episode like this, are in an English language arts classroom. And so this is something that's like probably hitting the nail on the head. You're either currently experiencing it, have experienced it, or are about to. This feeling of, I quote unquote need to teach kids this, that, and the other, but this, that, and the other don't make sense. So, okay, I know. I'll do a little mini unit. This is exactly what I had. I'll do a mini unit ahead of time, or I'll do a mini unit in between. And it'll be great because it'll be between this big unit and this big unit, or it'll start off the year and like we can set routines and just do review. And it sounds great. It always sounds like, yeah, it's perfect. And then we'll jump right in to that big essential question and the big topics that I've been, you know, that we're going to be covering. But I'm going to spend the first few weeks or 2 weeks or whatever reviewing and getting into, like this example, short stories. And what happens is that you get into it 3 days, 2 days, an hour, and you're like, well, this just feels weird and random. Like you just kind of don't, kids will follow along. And they'll be good sports for the most part. But then when you, as a teacher, start looking forward and you want to connect things to the next thing, or you want to be like in the next unit and be able to look back, that weird random mini unit just on short story or just on whatever the thing is that's not interconnected to the rest of it feels so random. And it's not a waste of time, but it feels like you have to reteach it all over again once you're in context. And the Gatsby example, once it's something that's actually applicable to a bigger idea and what you're like really doing from an inquiry-based approach, once you're in it, you have to reteach it all over again to make it contextually make sense.
This is what Marzano teaches a lot. If you guys have ever read Marzano, Robert Marzano talks a lot about the interconnectedness of vocabulary instruction as well as memory and students. And your students are much more likely to remember terminology and author's craft types of tools when there's like a significant moment attached to it, repeated over time. A one-shot mm-hmm. deal into a term here and there, it's not going to do it. And that is exactly like what Marie said, why you feel like you keep having to reteach things. And yes, we do have to reteach things. We absolutely do. But we also can save time by doing more rich experiences with things. So I think what Marie and I really want to do today is we've identified the problem. You know, we have this kind of...
Yeah, I know. We kind of got ahead of ourselves and like dug into short story. We do want to tell you about this unit makeover in general, but like this was how I identified the unit I wanted to make over.
But you're not
first,
alone.
Was
you're
like...
Not, it's right, exactly. Of people. And then the other problem with this is that like literally every student who starts their first year of English, like, or the next year of English every year in the high school, every year they start with a short story unit because everyone's doing the same damn thing.
And so that's quite frankly why we wanted to start there today, because heck yeah, short stories are awesome because they've got literary merit and they're not 400 pages. They're like 20. So that's nice.
Well, let's start with, so first we want to go through, like, these are the steps that we take you through in the unit makeover process. Then I'd like to share briefly, like, a couple of directions that you might go, and then we'll spend the majority of the time looking at Marie's. So when you guys get your emails from us, if you decide to go through this, we're going to first coach you to start by building a vision board. If you have not already done this, we will be providing for you in the show notes today an example vision board for Marie's unit that we're going to talk through. So if you've never seen one, you can see that one. We'll also link to an episode we did on the Cult of Pedagogy about vision boarding. But this is like a placeholder for all of your post-its that Marie told you to go collect. That's where we want you to start. We're then going to kind of talk through this essential question piece, which is the biggest thing that's missing probably in your short story unit, is that it's about the stories and not about actually chasing after some kind of real curiosity. We'll then look at supplements, and then we're going to look at assessments. Marie and I might not go in this order in this episode, caveat, but that's what the emails will kind of prompt you to think through as you make over the unit. How are we feeling right now, Marie? Are you feeling good?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Yeah, sorry, listeners and friends. Okay. We got a little ahead of ourselves. I told you at the beginning that we were going to get kind of nerdy today. And when we get a little nerdy, we start jumping ahead of things before we're ready.
That's okay. So I just wanted to say, before we get into Marie's, a couple of things just to kind of give yourself, like, take a deep breath, is if you love all 10 short stories in your short story unit, we're going to suggest that you ditch that grouping of them unless they're connected under an EQ. And you don't really want to necessarily force that EQ, but we do want to comfort you in the fact that those short stories can go under the umbrella of other units. Like, you don't have to let them go. You might just move them. Are you teaching the lottery? Okay, well, maybe put that in your dystopia unit. Are you teaching another wonderful short story that you adore? Maybe pair that in a place where the context is going to make it even more memorable. Like, I'm telling you, if I looped Harrison Bergeron and a couple other stories together in a pile, I really think Harrison Bergeron would get lost. And that would be the most depressing thing of all time. No hyperbole. But when we read Harrison Bergeron with Legend or with Fahrenheit or with another story where we can say, okay, I want you to look at Montag and Harrison and Hazel, and we're gonna look at how these three work together. We're gonna look at Diana Moonglampers and Captain Beatty and compare and contrast them. All of a sudden, ding, 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 all these light bulbs start to go off, and the richness of both texts work together. So that's my first caveat, is even though we're probably gonna tell you to ditch the unit, we're not saying ditch the stories, just move them somewhere else.
Well, and so that actually brings us to the first step in a unit makeover. The first step in a unit makeover is to, like, put down all pens, paper, and everything. Kind of close your eyes, and in your mind's eye, what do you want this to look like? What could this look like? What could this feel like? If this is typically, and we're going to talk this through because the unit we're talking about for me is the first thing that I teach in one of my courses. Well, specifically this short story unit is the first unit in my 12th grade world literature course. So what are the things that you want it to accomplish? What do you want them to experience? What do you want to happen? And that is the beginning of vision boarding. And so, like Amanda said, we've talked about vision boarding quite a few times on this podcast. We've been on another podcast on Jen Gonzalez's Cult of Pedagogy. So, like, all of that will be in the show notes. But, like, quick and dirty, here are some of the things that I wanted to have happen for a short story unit in the context of my world lit course for 12th graders. What are some things I know about 12th graders? I know that 12th graders can be a little too big for their britches sometimes. I know that 12th graders are also in desperate need of fun. Fun when it comes to school. Junior year around my neck of the woods is really academically rigorous. It's also for my student athletes when things start to get really serious. It's also for my student performers and artists when things start to, like, they start hearing about college, they start hearing about trade school, and they start looking at the hobbies and the things that they've loved and start looking at it as more of work, right? And something to get them ahead. And so things get very heavy. So in the context of their lives and looking at the whole child, they need things to be fun and light. That doesn't mean frivolity all the time, but that does mean, like, a little bit of something. I also know that seniors freaking love nostalgia.
Yeah, they do.
They live for some nostalgia. So as I started thinking through that, and I was like, okay, I do know that all of these goals I still want to hit, like a literary review, like getting them into reading something hard at the beginning so that we can really set some bars for where we're going to be going as a class. What can I do? And the thing that popped into my head was fairy tales. Fairy tales. Fairy tales are nostalgic. Fairy tales are also worldly. Like every single, not every single, but virtually every single culture from around the world has a version of a Cinderella story. And so that to me, and that's my like theater knowledge coming out for you, right? And I took like a children's theater and children's literature and theater. That's what it was course when I was doing my undergrad. I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. So as I was vision boarding, this is what came.
I think the other key for that, for 12th grade too, what you found is, I think fairy tales are deceptively simple, right?
Absolutely.
I love tricking students, right?
Yes.
100%. I mean, they think they're going to get into something frivolous and you're like, oh, sure, come on in. This is going to be easy. And then, well, bam, you just whack them. You wallop them.
Let me introduce you to the Brothers Grimm. Cha-cha-cha-cha. Yes. Which is just a barely, yes, we'll start talking about the specifics when we get into supplementals in just a second, or like through essential question and then a supplements. I think we actually can go through our unit makeover in order because that's how I did it. So I think we're going to be good. Yeah. So that vision board though, like includes all of those different things. I want to have the general feeling of nostalgia, the general feeling of youth. This is the last time they're going to be truly kids. Right? Aww. Is this year, wherever I'm getting them in their year. And so bringing back something like that and giving them something to really connect to, not every kid is going to connect to a fairy tale, but they are going to connect to children's stories in general, because they heard about them when they were in school or when they were really little. Yes. So like those sorts of feelings, I want it to be fun. I want things to be light, but I also want that lightness to couple with the reality of the world and like adulthood and hard decisions. And
I don't want to jump ahead because I don't know if this is part of your EQ, because we're just looking at this. I'm seeing this really fresh right now, but you've also solidified a genre, and genre is a natural way of connecting things together. So no matter your EQ, like kids aren't going to be feeling like this is random. There's no disjointedness already because you've narrowed it down to a genre.
Yes. And so, okay. So that's vision board. And I mean, I like to get really detailed in my vision boarding. And so does Amanda, where like I have colors that happen. And so those colors are going to have for me a lot of stark contrasts of kind of like light, almost jewel tone, sort of not light, but like beautiful jewel tone, a lot of deep, dark blacks and grays at the same time, because that to me really works. So if you're like vibing with that, and if you're not, I'm going to move
on. That's very fairy tale. Like I feel like I'm in the Black Forest in Germany right now.
Yeah. Right. But then at the same time, I'm also in like the sands of the Sahara. Like I'm in a like wasteland of nothing but an oasis out on the horizon. Yes.
I feel like, yeah, we should dive there. That was gorgeous. Yeah.
I love fairy tales. And then there's that. Like, if you could see me, I'm like getting really excited talking
about
it.
Don't overthink that either. I mean, yeah. That's huge.
No,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's something also, teachers, lean into that, because your enthusiasm will shine through always. So vision board, our next step in the unit makeover is an essential question. Amanda, how many essential question workshops have we done on this podcast?
About 1,000.
And one of them was actually a workshop for the course that I'm talking about. It was one that we did, my gosh, was it the end of last summer?
Yes, it was for your year-long question, right?
Yes, my year-long question. We were talking about villains and heroes. So those of you who remember that episode, you might want to take a look back in the show notes. The number of the episode is escaping me right now, but it'll be there. This is the same course that we're talking about here. And so what are some things that fairy tales can do? This whole entire course is world literature. We're talking about storytelling around the world, right? So what I landed on after quite a bit of workshopping, it was very simply, why do we tell stories? Mm-hmm. Why do we tell stories? That essential question is what drives my entire course for the most part, because we begin here and we end here. And it was a great place to just start then with the nostalgia of fairy tales and children's stories and the stories that we connect with when we're very, very young, the fictional stories that we connect with when we're young. And that is the essential question that drives this unit, but then also connects to so many other things in the rest of my course. I know I'm just kind of like the train is a getaway here,
all good.
But or runaway, not a getaway. There is no getaway. What do we have next? Supplements.
So yeah, we've got your EQ. And again, like as we're talking makeover before and after, the biggest thing I'd want people to see is that we're not sacrificing virtually any of the original goals of the first version of this unit. The first version was to have concise, brief texts that have challenge and also review literary terms. We are still doing exactly that, but we've created something with so much depth and layers of complexity by simply switching the focus and the but to both genre and the essential question here. And I love that your question is not even fairy tale based. I mean, we could have asked a fairy tale type of essential question, but we didn't. And that's the beauty again of this makeover and this process is You get to write all of that. You get to decide all of that. And there are lots of ways to do all the goals that you set out in this really unique and fun way.
Well, and so this actually like short story unit that I'm talking about the makeover for used to be totally separate from a fairy tale unit. Like I had a unit on fairy tales that was a little bit, I don't know, it was just weird. Like I tried to make it a whole research unit and it just never quite worked. So I ended up taking that with the idea of short stories and the things that you're talking about. And I mushed them together through the process of a whole unit makeover. And this is what I have found. So I didn't used to have an essential question that had anything to do with stories. It had everything to do with fairy tales and how they connect us around the world or something like that, like the similarities. And it just never quite worked. And then now I've found something that for now is working.
Beautiful.
Supplements. Let's talk about supplemental materials. Well, the interesting thing about a unit like this, that is a quote unquote short story unit, is that you don't have like a novel that they're kind of all supplements, right? Like, so there's no singular anchor text. There's a singular, for my unit, anchor story, which is Cinderella stories.
I would say that's your anchor for sure.
But it's not like, I mean, and yes, I do start, I kind of go against my own flair here. And I do start with the very like European super white Grimm version by the Brothers Grimm. And it's because it connects so many kids to the story of Cinderella.
Yes.
And then we branch out into the rest of the world. So if I'm like reaching for an anchor text, I would say it is, in fact, it's called like Aschenputtel, I believe. I don't know. Is that how you say it?
Aschenputtel? I don't know.
I think that's what it is. And it's an English translation from the German language, obviously, because I'm speaking English. And we read it. We listen to it. So I guess that would be like my anchor or like my central text. And then my supplements from there, I wanted to find things that are both fiction to supplement with and nonfiction. Because again, if we're going back to the goals of this unit and going back to my vision board, I want to get kids re-immersed in, first of all, the complexity of literature. But then also I want to throw in some nonfiction because we want to be able to do some things with it, right? And it all puts it into context.
And nonfiction offers you the opportunity to have others' commentary on this idea, this essential question, this genre. And that's always really cool, even for you, just as a teacher to remember. Sometimes when we really get stuck in fiction, it's really nice to step out and let the fiction kind of give that other viewpoint that we would otherwise probably not see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have some videos. Oh my God. Talk about dating yourself again. Here we go again.
I do. Okay. Yeah. So Amanda and I are both looking at my like unit slides so she could see exactly like how I take it day to day. I'm not going to take you through the whole entire thing.
Oh my God.
But one of my intros, Amanda, describe what you see. Would you?
Okay. So I'm looking at your compare and contrast video.
Uh-huh. So it's Cinderella Stories Compare and Contrast. I have 5 different videos and they are all film versions of Cinderella, dating from 1950 through 2021.
I'm having a moment here with Drew Barrymore.
Uh-huh. The Cinderella, or I'm sorry, Ever After. A Cinderella Story from 1998.
Can't tell you how many times I watched that movie.
Yeah.
I hated the ending of that movie though, P.S. But I don't remember it. Ever After. Well, she gets like taken away and then rescued later. Like it all goes down and like the bad guy like kind of kidnaps her and her in the castle. Okay. Either way, I loved that story. It's just so funny. Like talk about nostalgia. I love nostalgia and I'm having a little crisis here looking at the number 1998.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. As a freshman in high school.
Loved it.
Yeah. Maybe a sophomore.
Oh my gosh. So, I was still in middle school.
I was still in middle school.
It's just
so, love I doing that, don't you?
Age, but in school years, it's so different.
I know. It's bizarre, right?
Yes.
Well, so it's just so funny. You're hilarious.
Drew, if you're listening, which I know you are, can we talk about this movie sometime?
Barrymore? You're talking to Drew Barrymore directly? Yes. Oh, I'm sure she's listening. Why wouldn't she
be? She's listening. This is totally her jam.
So talking about supplementals, I've got a few different layers of supplemental texts here. And I do look at these videos that we're talking about. They are trailers to 5 different versions of Cinderella films. Yep. And they are all American films, I believe. So it's not like I'm diving into the world literature aspect just yet. But
this is a standard, right? Is like the representation of a single story over a variety.
Over and over. Well, and it's getting these kiddos, these students in with me, right? It's like bringing them in and under the wing before we start to expand. So I really created like three different layers of supplemental text here. I've got this first layer, which is these trailers. And it is something that we talked about for weeks, coming back to watching these trailers over and over again, because kids could go, wait a minute. And they'd come back and they'd find new things to talk about. The next layer is actually a slew of children's stories written by world authors. And they are the different versions that you can find of, and I'm still building that library. But I ended up going through and buying different print versions. And this is over a few years. I bought different print versions of world folk tales of Cinderella, the like Cinderella, I'm using air quotes, Cinderella stories from around the world. And I have got Caribbean ones. I've got Irish folk tales. I have got the French, which is like kind of considered the first or like the originator of a Cinderella story, the way that we know it with the glass slipper and all of that, and like fairy godmother. I've got some African versions. I've got some indigenous American versions. Like I've got some really cool ones. I went through and bought those. But you can also find really cool PDFs, and you can also find through maybe like your school. If you're looking for like short stories from like different parts of the world, you can often find them in children's books.
Yep.
And so that's the route that I went, and you can find like PDFs and digital readers of children's books. And then the third layer was some nonfiction articles. Well, and so
can we talk about the stories for a minute? Because I feel like the stories here are the guts of where that skill building is. And so Marie did a really nice job here of, you know, we talked earlier in this episode, another one of the kind of like the falling apart pieces of an original, like how we used to think of short story units.
Yeah, typical short story.
It was like a long checklist of terms to review. But what Marie has done here is she's really narrowed down the things that all of these stories, these short stories, have in common. And that's really like, right, the story arc, right? We've got the plot diagram that they all have in common. And when side by side, that's where we're going to find those variations. And we can talk about like argument and complexity. That's really beautiful. Setting, theme, these are kind of universal for anybody who's doing this. But then if you're going to do right, specifically fairy tales, looking at the supernatural, looking at magic numbers, again, like a genre piece that.
I got genre specific. If I was looking at sci-fi short stories, those genre specific elements would be a little bit different. Yes. But through the process of making this over and figuring out, okay, what kind of an essential question do I want to use? Okay, what kind of supplementals? I took those supplementals for what they were, and then I figured out what we were going to do with them.
And you gave yourself a really nice opportunity for jigsaw, small group work, because everyone can read something different, but be working on the exact same skills rather than, again, like I did this too. My short story unit typically required me to lead every lesson because I was always introducing or reviewing, air quotes, something new. So I had to lead everything. You can do this with a sample and then send everyone off on their own merry way to read another sample on their own and do the same skill practice. And that is a beautiful thing.
I'm back to my vision board. I wanted to set the standard for what school was going to be like and what my class is going to be like, especially for seniors. So yeah, we're really reading children's stories. Yeah, we watch Disney's Cinderella and we look at a lot of the social implications in it at a certain point in time. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I also set them free, like you're saying, to do a lot of the heavy lifting on their own. And I give them a ton of different choices so that there's no physical way that I could be like steering this ship. They have to be the ones in charge. And I've just given them the same task. And so that was part of this. Like, that's another thing that I kind of figured out through making over this unit was I was doing too much. I wasn't being able to have the time that like, and one of the goals of this unit is that I get to know students. And so like baking in time to my days where I get to just go around and talk to them and see what they're getting out of the stories that they've chosen to read through like a big ass list of supplementals gave me time to get to know them in a really organic way while they're still doing rigorous work. And it's kind of harder to analyze something that's so simplistic as a children's story because they have to really dig into it.
And so, I just want to, I know where I'm beating this, like I'm absolutely beating this to death, but the difference, Marie, that what you've done is instead of you can do this with a short story unit that's disconnected, right? You can have someone go read a short story, but that's like sending them off onto a ship, onto the freaking like Atlantic Ocean. You've set them free onto like these little fairy tale lagoons. Like they're on their own, but they've been scaffolded by what the samples are that you've given, the practice you've given them, and their own background knowledge and awareness of where they are in the world. So by breaking down those pieces of not making it wide open, you've narrowed the focus. That is a scaffold that no one ever asks you about when you're getting observed or talks about in a lot of formal education babble. But that is a massive scaffold, especially for students who struggle to read, is you've taken away the mystery of where the heck am I? And you've told them, we're here, we're in this genre, we're in this place. I want you to do this work, but they're not scraping or misbehaving or disconnecting. They're there. And that should not be undersold, Marie, because that you did them a huge service by doing that and could probably ask them harder questions because of that too.
Well, absolutely. And I can get them to dig in, engage with the material a lot faster in this way. And I was never going to get here. I mean, some people can get to this kind of a place the first time that they plan something. This was a perfect candidate for a makeover. This unit was because doing something like taking what I've always done in two places, in fact, and then stepping back and going, okay, really, what do I want to get here? And creating vision. And then how do I want to get there? Like, what's the vehicle? Some sort of a question to lead me through. And then now let's think through the stuff that we're going to use and what we're going to actually do with it. Yep. This little process really is what allowed me to get there. And like, again, friends, I've been doing this for a minute. Amanda and I are not noobs when it comes to teaching, period, and designing curriculum. And we still need to go through these processes. So that's why, like, we know that this will be helpful to you because it's been helpful to us, like, in real time. And I'm kind of glossing through pieces of the unit because, like, going through the unit itself is not really what we're here for. But, like, you can hear where then these supplemental texts, which the next piece is the layer of supplement that was the articles, two articles, one that is entitled, Is It Time to Rewrite Fairy Tales? Mm-hmm. And the second article, Why We Shouldn't Ban Fairy Tales. Well, the language there is damning in and of itself. But that led me to an amazing assessment, which got me all of the things I needed to get out of the like very beginning of a course, which is a writing sample, which is a little bit of like pulling evidence from research, not really research, but from, you know, different text. The question that I asked them and to do a little mini paper for me is, should fairy tales be rewritten to reflect contemporary social values and norms or something like that?
Such a cooler question than whatever you could ask generically about short stories.
Amanda and I often like to lean on our essential question for our assessment, right? My essential question is, why do we tell stories? My assessment question is different because of the nature of this unit. This unit is not a huge piece. It's only about 2 weeks. Yeah, it's 2 weeks on a quarter system. So like, you know, make that make sense for anything else. Probably be like 3 weeks on a semester system, maybe three and a half. Mm-hmm. And so it's not huge. It gets a lot of things knocked out that I needed to get done. But I kind of never had an assessment for it until I made it. I mean, I had like quizzes, but like, who cares? Assessments that didn't make sense. And when I stepped back and went through our little process, I went, oh, I see what I need to do. I need to connect all of this for them. I need to have a why. I need to have a purpose. And this is allowing me to see how this assessment will serve that. And they just write me a little mini paper. And they have to support their claim with, I think, two or three of the fairy tales we've looked at. And then whichever article serves them the best.
And there's nothing to saying that you can't. And I used to do this all the time. I always worked in buildings that had scripted curriculum and common assessments, whether or not I was part of writing them. And a lot of times I would give the common assessment, but then the essential question I would assess separately. So it would be a Socratic seminar. It could be a fishbowl. Uh-huh. It could even be like a silent discussion, just like a little way the EQ doesn't always have to have fireworks attached to it at the end.
Right.
It could just be a way of checking in again together before moving on to the next thing. So you could, I mean, if you had ever wanted to, right, could very easily have assessed that through a discussion without having to have kids also write on it. And I like that a lot of times because you're that argumentative question, you're going to get a really nice look at what kids can do at the mm-hmm. beginning of the year in terms of argument. That EQ is a very nebulous kind of question, which is very hard for kids to write on, but really good for them to talk about.
Well, and that's why it takes us all the way through the course. Right. Like if for my specific example, that why do we tell stories takes me to the end. It takes me to date the last day, finals, with little things in between. I mean, but that's neither here nor there because that's another thing. It's just something to like mention in context. But making over this unit is what helped me add in layers and make connections and make it all make sense. And now kids like juniors who are going to be taking this course next year are saying, are we going to do the fairy tale thing with like Cinderella? Like, are we, and I'm like, yeah, yeah. You heard about that?
Heard about
yeah.
It.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, okay. And then that tells me that something's working.
Yes.
That's what that tells me. Something's working here.
And I hope this has been a long episode. We hope to do more of these and catalog them for you. So you'll kind of have a, you know, over time, a series of unit makeovers to go back and listen to and kind of just hear us talk through the process. This was a really fun first one. I had a lot of nerdy fun looking at this with you and just validating all the things that we're doing and trying to help teachers do. So if Same. You know another teacher that would really benefit from hearing how this is done, please share this episode with that person and share the vision board we're going to include in the show notes. Go download that and take a look at Marie's vision and join us on a unit makeover. I mean, it's like no, it's like not even threatening. It's super like your own pace. It's free. We'd love to have you give it a shot.
Yes, this whole process, this unit makeover challenge that we've created is meant to, like Amanda said, not be overwhelming.
No.
But also make the changes that you want to make. Sometimes we teachers need to, you know, have our feet held over the coals a little bit so that we will actually do the things that we have the best intentions of doing when we mindfully put ourselves and our attention towards doing those things and doing them simply. That's what we wanted, is just like 4 steps with time to think about it, implement it. Think about it, implement it. That's what's gotten me to this place. And this unit actually does need a couple more looks at some different supplements and some smaller formative assessments along the way. So I'm going to even take like the second half of this challenge and reapply it to the unit again. Like Amanda said, head to the show notes, get your hands on the materials yourself and then make them work for you. Yeah, we're going to make over some more units as we go. Maybe we'll make some over live or we'll talk through some other sorts of makeovers. But we are also excited to hear about how this process works for you and your curriculum and your teaching. So make sure that you, whenever you post on Instagram and other social media, tag us at Brave New Teaching, email us, let us know how you're doing. And yeah, this has been a long one. So friends, thank you for joining us. We hope that you are having the best day ever. And if you're ready for a little glow up, you just let us know. You know where to find us.
We do contouring. Speaking of the 90s, I would love to put a little blue eyeshadow and glitter on this unit, right? Like that's what it's missing.
Mm-hmm. A little like eyelash glue with some like heavy glitter.
Did you ever use white eyeliner?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, my word.
100%.
Now as a mom, I think about like, what was my poor mother, like, what was she biting? And I walked out the door with blue eyeshadow and white eyeliner on.
Well, so you know something else that's made a total like resurgence is butterfly clips.
Yes, they have.
Okay. And I still think they're adorable. So like my daughter who is
I just put them in Sochi's hair the other day.
Okay. Oh yeah. She wears them. And every time I'm like, I wish I could wear those. I like them a lot, but I don't know that I could get away with it.
And headbands.
Yes. I used to have that like sawtooth one.
Yes.
Because my hair is so curly. And like when I was younger, I had a lot more hair and it would just like and keep it all and then get completely stuck in my hair. And we'd have to cut it out every time.
And a headache. All right. Yep. All of that.
And with that, friends, we're going to bid you adieu. Just that randomly. That's it.
Bye.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Okay, we love you so much. Okay,
just bye.
Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching.
We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.